It is the bio show, biology show. We call it the bio show. Got some good intro music. We have Sarah back with us. Sarah's my sidekick. Actually, I'm probably Sarah's sidekick. She does a great job. We just like to talk. Yeah.
We do.
You know, I think what makes it a unique show is we talk about anything we want to. But we both have interests in the, I don't want to call it the extreme, but maybe since we're both in our 40s, that it's just a different era, different way to look at the world. However,
yeah, for sure.
Oh, I feel that way, but I meet people that in their 50s, 30s, we're all in this weird era right now of planet Earth where technology is moving so fast. We're able to communicate over vast distances and talk about some topics that might not be in the textbook. And I think a lot of people were raised to stay within the confines of a textbook. And I'm talking about science, of course, and the mm-hmm. COVID stuff that happened, and even, you know, life elsewhere. I mean, what is known, what is not known, what's been released, what hasn't been released, and what do people experience every day? You know, people like you and myself, just personal experiences. I think we can get a lot out of that with different phone calls from around the country, the United States, but also around the world. I feel like there's quite a bit out there still to be talked about. Now, Thursdays, I think we like to do a little bit of news, right, with the bioshow.com, bioshow. We have a couple podcasts out. We're going to grow. But we have a couple different news topics. And Sarah, before we started the podcast, you were saying some stuff about the Rio Grande.
Oh, yeah.
What did you...
Have you heard anything about that yet?
Well, admittedly, I'm not on like a news website religiously, but I do know there's been a long-standing problem with the... Like they're over-allocating and it's multiple states that want the water. What's the new...
Well, right now in Texas, the Rio Grande is dry, bone dry.
Okay.
There have been people reporting standing on the empty riverbed and showing that there is no water there. And they say that there are these data centers that are popping up that are taking all the water because it takes so much water to cool them and everything.
So does the water get used up, or what happens to the water?
Yeah.
So the
and
water.
I don't know if it's dry.
Wait. So no, I'm just trying to figure this out. So the water that's getting used from the Rio Grande, there. I'm saying it's like along the Texas border, Mexico border, or they.
And New Mexico, yeah.
In New Mexico, okay. And so does this water?
It goes all over. Yeah.
Does the water evaporate, or like what happens to the?
Not so much that it's dry. It has never, in 40 years, it's never been dry. 47, 50, 60, I don't know how many years. I don't know the last time it was actually dry. This is a first.
Okay. But you're talking like when you go, or when a person goes to this Rio Grande River, they don't see any water. Even in like the riverbed itself, it's just dry.
Exactly. It's dry.
And so
you can see only land, no water.
There was an article I read, this has been a while, but you know, a vast majority, 70-80% of the water goes to agriculture. But what you're saying, the new article that you read or whatever is saying the water is now, so you have agriculture, you have like civilian use, you know, city use, but now you're saying there's an added on factor of these data centers.
Yes. And even if agriculture is still using 70-80%, there's still a river flowing, but now it's not flowing. And so I don't know if the whole river is dried up, or just, I mean, it would have to be, right?
No, I think you're right.
Not to have any.
Well, I think you're right from what I read.
Coming down the river at all.
Yeah, the people can see the bottom of the riverbed. Like, there's no water.
Yeah.
There's literally.
Exactly.
In the past 60 or 80 years, there's always been somewhat. In fact, it used to be a diverse ecosystem.
Yeah.
Cottonwood trees. I met this guy at the YMCA. Sometimes I go there. So I met this guy who, he had family who had was it pecan trees? It's pecan. And I didn't know that, but pecans use a ton of water. In Kansas, we had some, but the people that had them watered the heck out of them. And this guy said, no, pecan orchards are very common, or at least they were. And I don't know what's going to happen to pecans, but you know, one could just extrapolate and say, well, pecan prices are going to go up because there's fewer pecans or something like this.
Right.
But this is true of whatever industry or whatever agricultural, you know, product is down there.
Yeah. Plus, there's no water for the wildlife that depends on it, you know, for life.
Correct. So that's part of the ecosystem thing, or just the tribal communities maybe.
That too. I mean, it's a whole, but then also I just saw before we started, Florida had, the citizens of Florida have put their foot down and said, no, they went to a secret meeting for one of these data centers and said, no, you cannot be here.
Oh, Florida kicked them out.
For you.
Florida kicked them out. Yeah. So, how about like water conservation efforts? Have these like Albuquerque, like maybe it's grown in population, but maybe they have gotten better at their water usage? Like, have water rates gone down in that capacity, or like, is there a positive to the whole time component?
I lived there when I was little, you know.
Oh.
For a while, and it was already huge then.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure it's grown since then, you know, that was a long time ago.
Sure.
But even if they did get better about their water consumption or usage, there would be more water in the river if water usage has gone down, you know what I mean?
There should be a net increase. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, and in the environmental science class, this from a few years ago, it did seem like there's multiple states that have contracts with other states. Like, hey, you get this, you get this. But from what I remember, they always over allocated the amount that was actually in the river. People would get more than what was actually there, but so they could never actually realize what the actual water that they were supposed to get contractually, it never came to fruition.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the same thing, right? Yeah. People project there's this much, but there's not. And maybe when industry gets involved, there's still sort of this optimism that's actually got a falsity to it. Like, there's really not that much for the data center, but they're saying, oh, we're going to have it, when they don't.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I don't know if you watched that Nestle documentary where they talked about when Nestle comes in and wants to just use some of your spring water or whatever, and then they dry it up and then they leave and the town is destitute because they have no water left.
I've seen things along this line. So one of the classic textbook examples is so you get a water bottle at the gas station or wherever. It's like, oh, I'll get the Dasani. You know, if you could take a fourth of that water bottle and fill it up with oil, that is the amount of energy and resources that goes into that one bottle of water. It's a fourth of that bottle of water filled with oil for shipping, right? Because you got transportation, you got cooling costs, you got production of the plastic. Very inefficient. You brought up Nestle. What is the company? It's called, tell me if you've heard of this, Evian Water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've heard of it. And one of these, well, I'll just say the student I had, he said, raised his hands. He says, "Hey, Dr. Swanger, do you know what Evian spells backwards?"
Naive.
And that is the market for water in a bottle, in a plastic bottle that they pay nothing for. And they sell it for three. Right. And, you know, what does the labeling regulation say? Spring water? This is spring.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're just going to put it on there and stamp it on. If it comes out of the hydrant, we'll call
it a
spring. You're
better off, right? You're better off finding your local fresh spring. And there's a website that you can go to find the nearest one. I think it's like an hour and 10 or 15 minutes from where I live is the, you know, closest fresh spring.
What's a what's a website? Do you know the website?
No, I'd have to look it up. Find a spring, maybe. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Okay, you see if you can find that. And then I'm just curious because in Washington State, I'm thinking what it could be up here. Like what is the closest place? But we have so much good water in Washington State. You know, it's so untouched.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's farther. Now, we have a lot of paper mills, and so you can get some weird things like maybe some byproducts of the paper manufacturing process, like dioxins and things. Even from if they're not doing it anymore, it's still locked up in the soil because it's part of this cluster of compounds called persistent organic pollutants, or POPs. And we get a lot of those areas, like different towns where they've had a, maybe it's cardboard manufacturers, any kind of paper mill industry where all of these pollutants might have gone out in the 70s, 80s, and then they shut it down, but they stay in the soil. So people, in some cases, are afraid to garden because the plants take up this, you know, whatever's in the soil and goes into the fruit, and that, like tomato fruit, you know, or tomato that people might eat. But if you go to the lakes around here, Washington State, it's Lake Crescent is one of the most beautiful lakes. We have a lot of these lakes around here. It's just you can put on some snorkel gear, just like some goggles and or just goggles. It's fine. And just look, put your face down in the water. It's freaking beautiful. It's unbelievable. I never would have imagined seeing a whole nother world underwater in a cooler lake, but it's freshwater and it's Glacier Lake. It's just beautiful. You look straight down and there's some trout swimming around every now and then, but the logs, like if a log has fallen down, it goes down and down and down and down and down, tens and tens of feet. You can see this with your own eyes. And it's mind blowing. You know, if you're from Kansas where you put your ankles in and you can't see your toes, it's like, ooh, God, that's muddy. But right. if you're out in Lake Crescent or some of these freshwater lakes, just freaking beautiful. And you know, if we lost that in the country, I think as a whole, in large part, where the more populated and so forth, you get, you know, the water's just more turbid or it's more disturbed or more polluted or.
The website is findaspring.org.
Findaspring.org. So, sounds interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. And it tells you if it's free, paid, or I don't know what the other thing says. It doesn't let me make the screen bigger, so.
Well,
if it's for swimming. Okay, you don't want to drink it if it's swimming. But you guys have a lot more of these springs than we do. We have a couple in the state.
Oh, does it list it? You can see other states right off the bat.
Yeah. Okay. You can go over all on the map,
Okay, cool.
Like, Eastern Kansas has quite a bit, and Western has one.
You know, it's the other thing with water, of course, is the fluoridation issue, which it's one of those, you know, this is what I don't like, this pejorative terminology, conspiracy theorist. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Well, it's been you know what? Let me tell you, they've beat it into our heads for so long that the fluoride is good for your dental health. It's industrial waste. They used the same crap in the in Auschwitz and the gas chambers. It dumbs people down and makes them more docile so that they can control them. or kill them.
Yeah, I had read this. What you just said, I had read a long time ago, like 20 years ago in college, and the World War II Nazis were giving the Jewish prisoners like copious amounts of the fluoride in their food, unbeknownst to the prisoners.
Yeah.
To like it somehow numbs up the mind, so there's no thinking that takes place, or at least a lot less.
Right. Yes.
And I've heard things, it calcifies the pineal gland. And I don't know how all that works. Yep. Even as a biologist, I'm like, how does it translocate once it's ingested? Does it get distributed from the GI tract through the bloodstream and centralizes into the nervous system and in the brain in particular? I don't know how that chemistry would work,
yeah, right.
Transportation mechanisms. But there's other things, you know, you just think about heavy metals in particular, like or just metals, you know, like methylated mercury compounds or arsenic that you see put in treated wood. I mean, these are neuroinhibitors. Like they inhibit neuron communication by, you know, they might bind to like the active site of some protein or like the sulfhydryl groups of some protein, like bind it up. And so the protein in the plasma membrane of the neuron does not function. You can't get nerve transmission. You can't get that. So I don't doubt that this is a possibility. And I think this is the point we're making on the show over and over again, is we have to be open to these different possibilities in the realm of nature. And the scientific method demands you stay open to the possibility that this could happen. And understanding maybe we ought to put that as
the more you learn, the more that you need to update your thinking, you know, the more you learn.
True.
You have to have an open mind. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in the mindset that is, could be killing us. You know what I mean?
It could be. I do. And I think this is the one good thing about, you know, how we have like, it's generation this, generation that. I think this is good because you sort of pass the torch to the next wave of people and say, hey, here's what we know. How can you improve on it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a downside because there's a group of people that would pass on the torch of knowledge of deceit. Like, you know, I'm thinking about vaccines.
Like they have been doing it for so long.
Well, so much now is coming out on vaccines where it's hygiene and nutrition that has lent themselves towards decrease of disease, not vaccines.
Yeah. You know how they cherry pick the dates that they want to use to show that it's because of the vaccines. But if you show years before, then you see that it was because of the hygiene and all of these things that we updated, and it already started decreasing quite a bit. And then they just start like maybe a year before the vaccine is introduced and show how it decreased. But it's like, it was already a huge decrease before that time.
True. Yeah. And it's not just hygiene. I don't think it's just hygiene and nutrition. Although there's so many cases with that. Like the horse died in the 1800s, the horse died in the street and the horse stayed there for a couple of weeks. You know, nobody could get in and move it.
Yeah.
So, what do you have? Right. You have this huge vat of blood and tissue that is like just a breeding ground for bacteria. I think the other one, though, in conjunction with all that, that often gets ignored or at least maybe overlooked to a degree, is like if you look at like the vaccine that was given for the Spanish flu. I was just listening to Peter McAuliffe on this, Dr. Peter McAuliffe, one of my guy. He's a go-to guy for me for podcasts and like inspirational stuff. He was saying that this Spanish flu that in the early 1900s, which my grandpa's brother died of, he was like two or three, but after World War One, everybody's coming home. And he was saying most of those deaths weren't from the Spanish flu themselves. They were from a bacterial pneumonia. So it's like a secondary infection.
Oh,
so they might've been knocked down a little bit with this flu virus. But then what came in was these bacterial infections, as like, they call them opportunistic infections. And so those deaths aren't from the disease itself. Right. So, but then you come out with the vaccine, you attribute it all to the vaccine of, the rates went down this much when Or they want to hype up the pathogen, say the pathogen took out this many people. Well, it wasn't the pathogen mm-hmm. per se. It was all the, now, if you look at antibiotics and things like that, it's like, oh, we could have treated those with antibiotics and you wouldn't have had hardly anything from the virus itself right. in the early 1900s.
Right.
So keeping these other variables in mind, I think, is of huge importance. Now, the other thing, not to switch gears totally, but we have some news things. I'd love talking about the news with you because you're kind of up to date, or at least up to like, oh, this is the hot topic. And we were just talking about vaccines. And there's been some, I mean, I did read Brian Cole. I followed him for a while, and I still kind of check up on him, see how he's doing. But him and Peter McAuliffe got their butts kicked by social media. But now they're on the upswing, especially McAuliffe's like, wow, this guy was the voice of reason in this darkness, you know, that we lived through. And of course he was right, and he's still right. And it's like the more they shut him down, the more our, you know, United States is like...
It lends credence to him.
Ouch! It does, yeah.
Right?
But there's been some other... What was her name? You mentioned Christine, or what was it? Christine Cotton or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Christine Cotton, yeah.
And what did... She you said she did research for somebody for 25 years, or what was it?
Yes. Oh, man, if I could get that story back.
Was it Pfizer? And then...
Yes, it was Pfizer.
Yeah, and she was... Yeah, go ahead.
She worked in their bio statistical area, you know, and she had proof. And as soon as she, listed her proof of them not giving the vaccine or the jab that was the one that was in all the studies that they studied, and they switched it, you know, right before they sent it out. So the people that think they got the one that was all quote unquote safe and effective is not what they got. And then she was dead right after giving that proof out.
So it was the old bait and switch kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. She worked with them, worked in that field for 25 years.
And you think she was murdered, or what do you think?
Oh, yes, because they don't want that information getting out.
And did the was this like a recent thing where she was killed, or was this like years ago, or when did this?
It was pretty recent. Let me see. I have this. Da-da-da-da-da. Go ahead and talk, and let me find it.
Well, yeah, we're just talking about sort of, and I'll kind of give the readers a background. Look, all through history, there's been scientists that have appeased the powers that be, and they've been rewarded generously in many cases. And there's been scientists mm-hmm. who've been kind of like a thorn in the side. Quit pointing this out. Our product's just fine. And there's been scientists who have, I mean, look at the smoking thing. Smoking is good for you. And they had scientists testifying, or the delay tech. There's not enough evidence. So you can buy scientists, right? You can pay scientists to mm-hmm. say what you want them to say if you can pay them. But you have to find the right scientists. But they're out there, right? You're always going to have somebody that's economically feeling pinched. So they're like, okay, I got kids and a wife. I need to support them. And here's a great job to make a couple million in a few years sort of thing.
Perfect.
But most recently with this COVID thing, you know, some scientists did not bend. And they're like, hey, what... You know, Fauci's the easy one. He's like, oh, duh, of course he's the puppet guy. But if you look at other people who have went the opposite way, like been very vocal, Peter Bregan mm-hmm. or Peter McAuliffe or Ryan Cole or, Mackus with his ivermectin fenbendazole formulation that he's doing with cancer research. Pierre Corey is another one. There's a handful of scientists like, hey, they're trying to get people to think and like sort of snap out of it. But you're saying this one that tried doing that, this whistleblower that said, hey, I see an alarm bell with these vaccines. She was taken out. You feel like she was taken out.
Well, okay. I found it. I found her letter that she actually wrote. Okay. Do you want me to read the letter?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. So this was from Christine Cotton. Let me see if I can find the date. Oh, yeah, I can update the font size here just so it's a little easier. It is June 2nd, 2026. By the time you read these lines, I will have left this world. For those who do not know me, my name is Christine Cotton. I am what is known as a whistleblower. I worked for 25 years in the pharmaceutical industry in the management and analysis of clinical data. As a biostatistician, since December 2020, I have immersed myself in the documents of the COVID vaccine from the Pfizer laboratory. I have written numerous documents and done many broadcasts to share the real results. My conclusions are catastrophic beyond the invalidity of the results.
Invalidity.
Due to errors. Thank you. I didn't want to say it. due to the errors or even manifest frauds. The Pfizer vaccine that the population received, that you may have received, is not the one from the clinical trial with the 95% efficacy announced by the politicians, journalists, and TV doctors. You were administered a product for which there were no results, neither of efficacy nor of tolerance. This message is not bother. Let me make this a little bit bigger because I'm blind. Okay. This message is not intended to create sensationalism on social media, but to inform you of one of the biggest manipulations that humanity has ever known. All the evidence is in the latest version of my work, which I invite you to download and read. For the lazier ones and the very busy, the few pages of the conclusion and the links to the source documents will already enlighten you a great deal. I felt ill at the very moment I filed a complaint against the health authorities. For over a year, I have been suffering from excruciating pain, starting from the lower back down to my legs, burning sensations in the skin, mainly in the legs and back. I have consulted general practitioners, neurologists, osteopaths, virologists, dermatologists, rheumatologists, psychiatrists, homeopaths. I have swallowed thousands of capsules of dietary supplements, anxiolytics. I don't know. Okay, you know that word, I'm sure. Thank you.
Or anxiolytics.
Neuroleptics. Yes, that. Neuropolytics, painkillers prescribed by the pain center. I have even done bioresonance sessions and seen magnetizers, and this without any result. I am at the end of what I can bear. I ask forgiveness from those who love me, who have followed me on social networks for 4 years, my friends, my parents, and above all to God or whatever his nature or name may be, to end my life. I, who have never ceased to protect it since childhood, whether plant, animal, or human life. From the bottom of my heart, I thank those who have supported me, encouraged me, and all those who pray or have organized prayer groups. I am going to ask you to pray once more so that my soul may be in the light of the Creator as soon as possible.
Oh my God, man. What the hell?
Right.
And this just...
Yeah.
This that just was a day or two
ago? That was
ago?
Just... 2 days ago, yeah.
Oh. She knew something was going on.
She knew for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are links in the Substack to her work, so you can go read it yourself.
You know what? We'll post that in the show notes, and people can go see what they can find. But...
Okay.
What do you say to that? Because that there's so many other scientists. Maybe that's the intention. You know, you hear that as a young scientist, you think, oh my God, I gotta watch. You know, you don't want to be next on the chopping block. So
right.
So that, it's more of a message to other people, or.
Well, and also, I don't know. You're probably not deep in the rabbit holes and stuff, but. I don't know if you heard from some of the whistleblowers that talked about how Maduro was captured and there was military might that we don't even know about. And you know about the heart attack gun, you know, from the, what, the 50s or 60s. And who knows what they aimed at her after she posted this stuff and then she's all of a sudden ill right away.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just like the people that have found natural cures for cancer and then all of a sudden they're gone.
Oh, I'm waiting on a couple people. I'm just like, man, God, if they keep talking about this fentanyl, because it's really crazy, but if you're in industry, you know there's a profit margin. And if you make like buco bucks, you got to protect that. You know, if it's a multi-billion dollar industry, you're going to take away a lot of people's
income.
Well, I was going to say income or livelihood, but it's all ridiculousness. You're going to strip them of that power of money, and they may not like that. So, and we're certainly not, you and I are not, I don't think we're big enough to like cause any damage. So I'm not that worried about it. It's more like talking about it and getting some people to listen. Like, wow, this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Right.
So
nobody cares about little us.
Well, they do and they don't, because they don't until they come out with something that crushes everybody. And, you know, if you really want 500,000 people on the planet, like the Guidestones say, why mess around with COVID? That seems like such a waste of time. They could do something.
500 million, yeah.
Yeah, the 500 million. Yeah. Excuse me, I thought, I might have said 500,000, but.
That's okay.
They probably want 500,000.
But
I find really curious is that the 500K, whatever it is, 500 million, I own two vehicles, okay, with several people in the family. Mm-hmm. Two, okay, I don't have a private yacht. I don't have three jets. I don't have a helicopter.
Right.
I don't have a 5,000 square foot home. Why am I the problem?
Right.
There's other people with a much
or also like how they tried to blame cow farts for, you know, the CO2.
Yeah.
Like,
well, okay.
No, the plants do this and we need them. They need us and we need them.
Like, maybe it's this idea of like there's 8.5 billion and 8 billion of those are just like, just go away. And maybe there are 8 billion. Maybe the Earth could get along just fine without the 8 billion. But how do you, like, they want to get rid of them? I mean, that right there is like, you want to get rid of them. It's kind of like, kind of turns the stomach a little bit. Like, what do you mean get rid of? Like, how would you get rid of them?
There's video of Bill Gates saying, oh, you know, if we do really good with vaccines, that'll...
Yeah. Like,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. 2010.
Like, what the fuck? That's supposed to help people, not kill people, right? Wait, what'd you say?
We got to lower the population, and if we do a good job with vaccines, like, wait, what?
Right.
A little bit of a Freudian slip. I think most people now, well, maybe not. You've seen the stuff that's like HPV in Africa. I mean, forget HIV, forget that. That's too far. But let's like HPV vaccinating, the black ladies of Africa.
Yeah.
Well,
and girls. And
they died. Yeah.
Having,
no, they died.
Yeah,
they got
exactly.
cancer. Or they became sterile. Or.
Yep.
I don't. God, I don't think a lot's changed from like Galton's time. You know, these early Genesis. I just don't think a lot's changed.
No.
But the one thing has changed is like you got. You got Gavi, the Gates Vaccine Initiative, and then he turns around and he made what, 40 billion on the pandemic, but he gave a million to a couple of community colleges. And it was like, oh, $1 million. Woo.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Right.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
You screwed up our college. You screwed up the face-to-face class. You screwed up a whole generation of youth. And thanks for the $1 million. we're not going to do anything about it because, oh God, it's just, I just like talking about this stuff. I don't know. I know other people talk about it, but we're trying to do this podcast thing. It's like, hey, maybe people want to eavesdrop in, just whoever wants to eavesdrop into the conversation. I think a lot of people are talking about it still.
Right.
Yeah, it was a yeah. hell of a damage event. They really damaged society.
Well, also, you know, the Hanta, sorry, I can't say it without laughing, but
yeah.
the Hanta virus.
Yep.
Well, when we all said, no, this isn't happening, of course it stopped. There's no more words about
well,
it.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And again, Peter McAuliffe, some other MDs were like, no. It's not person to person. Stop this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, and what did they do to the people? They locked them on the boat. Like, let them yeah. get some, excuse me, some fresh air.
Fresh air. Yeah.
Fresh air. Well, same thing with COVID. Isn't it? They locked the old people in the old age home. We lost two neighbors yep. that were just great old couple. And they died. Yeah. They died inside, locked up. They didn't die out in their garden. They died locked up. So, what else we got for news that's cheery, like this stuff? I'll just share this one little story okay, that's going around. Fine. There was a guy who tried to outrun the police here locally. And it was a 2-hour mm-hmm. pursuit, and he got caught. And I always wonder about these people. It's every small town this happens. Oh, some guy's traveling yeah. through. They got him. And they're just like, eventually they're going to get him because there's, you know, 50 cops. And everyone's, you know, every cop's like, just tell me when, you know, they're Jones and's like, I'll get him. Well, and then they're on call. Boom. Yeah. Here he is. Go get him. We got to find him. There's got to be dozens yeah. of cop cars out, and they get him. It just, don't you think it just adds to the, you know, this guy now has to serve extra time and all this. I get, you know, he had yeah. warrants out and all this, but he goes on this crazy drive. And like, in my mind, I'm like, why not just pull over and take your penalty?
Right.
That's the local news, but I think it's probably applies to perhaps every small town. You have one of those.
Right.
Tried to get away, and I guess maybe 1 out of 20 gets away or something. But
mm-hmm.
but then you compare that, you know, if you can contrast that to these bigger, you know, billionaires pulling off these crimes, it's like, don't you think someone's going to get pulled over? You know,
right?
The lies and deceit that the media propagates. Don't you think one of these billionaires is going to get pulled over? He's just bought and paid for, like the vaccine injury. It's like, okay, you can stop the vaccine income and lose tens of billions, or you could just pay out to these complainants a billion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still making your money. So what's the incentive to stop pushing the product? There isn't.
No. Well, and also because the that act where they don't have any liability.
Yeah, 1986. Yeah. Yeah, and that was actually, that was by Congress. So, yeah, that it's like going out and getting a car, and it's like, oh, the car is going to blow up, and it could blow up in 20,000 miles, but it might not. And if it does, you can't do anything about it. You think I'm going to, it's like Aaron Seary. Aaron Seary wrote this book, Vaccines Amen. He says, look, you got all these products on the market. There's not one that doesn't come with a liability lawsuit potential, except for vaccines. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to touch the vaccine manufacturers.
Yeah.
What? You've injured all of these kids, you know, with a neuroinflammation, you know, hypervaccination and all this aluminum.
And plus, I mean, what happens when they start finding out that they're sterile now because of this shit?
Oh my God.
Because that's one of the things that was targeted with it.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Hey, now hold on a second. Do you think, I'm not for this because I think people should have a choice, but there's some people I really think maybe they're not going to be great parents. I'm not saying they shouldn't have kids, but you look at them and you're like, I don't know. Now, do you think some of the billionaires out there that are playing these biotech games, do you think they looked at some people of the community and said, let's just stop having these people breed?
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, it's not an accident.
Like you said,
there's sterility involved. It's not an accident. Mm-hmm. Like, this is targeted. Right. Yeah, this is targeted.
Yes.
The,
but I did, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the comparative would be Planned Parenthood putting in all of these offices, like in places where there might be a lot of minorities living, like in the 70s, 80s, they went into African-American communities, put up Planned Parenthood, like free contraceptives, you know, like stop breeding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this an act of altruism? Like they're going to be helpful, or is this like an act that's nefarious and we want to reduce their population?
Nefarious, definitely.
Could be, yeah. And I think the same could be said of today with all the sterility with the vaccines. Like maybe this, I'm not saying this, but some of them, they might be saying, it's actually a good thing. You got to stop these people from breeding. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what might be going through their heads. But the thing is, there's something in biology called biotic potential. It's called biotic potential. Like, why is the world not knee-deep in fruit flies? Because there's natural predatory cycles that limit the number of organisms. But humans don't necessarily have that cap. And maybe, just maybe, some people of society feel like it's their duty to cap the number of people. And I'm not saying they're justified.
But that doesn't mean, right, I was going to say, that doesn't mean killing off more than, what, 3/4 of them?
Correct, yeah. Well, and the part of that is you've got some really good people mixed in with all kinds of other people. Like, oh, my God, like, you know, she's 24. She graduated cum laude. Now she's going to go to med school, but she died because she got a vaccine. That was like the best student that there was off to med school, but you killed her. Like she could have been the discoverer of some really great treatments with cancer but she's gone because she felt compelled to take this shot that killed her.
Yeah.
So to do a blanket, what they're doing with this blanket administration of something that knocks everybody down, I just don't think it's conducive to what their end goal is. I think it's actually very deleterious to the whole planet, you know, as far as ingenuity and smartness goes and things like that. You just can't, you know, broadcast this death weapon. It's just, you're gonna do more harm to the overall planet. There's so much, you know, potential as far as like brain capacity and stuff. But this thing with biotic potential, you can't beat like fecundity. You can't beat, you know, if a rabbit generation every 3 weeks has 9 more rabbits, how do you defeat that?
Right.
You know, and the human population, what were we at, 6 billion in the 90s or something? Now we're at 8.5 billion, a billion at the turn of the last century, 1900. Jesus Christ, we've grown. We've had a few million all through history. And then, oh, my God, like humans can, you can wipe them out, but they just bounce right back. This is, they're going to have to think of, and really, you know, what's kept the human population down is women's education. When women are educated and empowered, they tend to have fewer kids.
Right.
Yeah. You take the women's rights away and it's like, just, or their education, it's like, well, they don't have choice, but empower them with an income and so on. So I think they might be going about this the wrong way. I just don't see it working long term. We're gonna have to get some educational stuff going, I think. But what do I know? I'm just a stupid, you know, regular.
Well, that was also part of the feminist thing, was to get women out of the house so they're not able to help take care of the family, and it starts to break up the families. I mean, also how they've had the nuclear family and the blacks. Then half the black men that could be, you know, taking care of their family and protecting them are in jail because of listening to this, you know, well, other reasons too. But anyway, it's just awful how they've torn families apart.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, wasn't it the crack cocaine thing? Wasn't that fueled by government agencies?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were, like, yeah, literally taking this drug into these black communities and distributing.
Yeah.
It's been shown. Yeah, it's not a conspiracy.
And was it the Afghan or the Kuwait war, which it was really about the opium, and then we have the opioid crisis here in the U.S.?
Yeah, that's another great example. Purdue Pharma with their is that slow release pharmaceuticals that they came out with, and it's like, oh yeah. God. And that's another great example where they caused billions and billions of dollars of damages and paid a few hundred million. I mean, what does that put back into the community? Nothing. But yet methadone's still okay to give, and it's just I think we're digressing here. Yeah. Is there any good news out there? Is there anything fun that's happening?
I have a good story.
Okay, lay it on us. What is it?
Okay, so this is from Duchess on Substack, who is talking. This is what local accountability looks like. In Fetus, Missouri, a town of about 14,000 people, the city council quietly approved a $6 billion AI data center to be built on 360 acres just north of Highway 67. Residents say they were never properly heard. Meetings were held in private. Documents were released too late. A week after the approval, the town had a regular election. Voter turnout jumped 129%. Every single council member who had voted yes lost in a landslide. A 70-year-old first-time candidate beat an eight-year incumbent by 40% percentage points.
Wow.
Now a recall petition is circulating to remove the mayor as well. The lawsuit against the city is already filed. Has your local government ever been held accountable like this? I don't believe so, but it needs to be.
Wow.
Like, that's people actually
getting involved.
Wait,
where was this at?
That's the problem.
Where's this at?
Fetus, Missouri. Fetus, Missouri.
Okay. That's interesting.
That is what everybody needs to be doing, but they keep you so distracted with stuff on your phone, social media, video games,
or it's the start
TV,
of something.
Movies.
I don't know. It's the start of something, I think. It's not.
Yeah.
I think that's a
People
great story.
Need to get involved. Yeah, exactly. That's what we could all be doing. We all need to get involved in our local communities.
And what are you doing?
For sure. I'll have to find out when the next council meeting is, and I'll have to.
Well, you're
I'll
doing something on the radio. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it just to encourage other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to stand up and be a leader sometimes, especially when your personal life could be ridiculed or.
Right.
You know, you're a target yourself, potentially. Maybe you've got some skeletons that they're going to be
released. They can kill me. I don't care. They're not going to shut me up, fucker.
Well, I mean, we're not that big. You know, it's like I said, we're not that big. No. We're just kind of like hanging out and chit-chatting.
No. Yeah.
But there's other people that are talking about it that are probably bigger targets than we are. So.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, get active in your local community so that we can...
Correct.
Help turn this ship around before it's too late, you know?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, it takes all of us to do that, because there's many more of us than there are of the ruling elite.
There's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Have you seen what's going on in, is it France, with this lady named Le Pen? Have you?
I haven't heard that name yet, no.
Okay, Le Pen. Yeah, she's sort of a populist. So that's what they call them when they don't like them. But it's basically she has the majority where she's like, this is our country. We're going to protect our country, and these are our people. I mean, it's not giving taxpayer money away to, where is it going to go? It's not even local.
Right.
So she's sort of the new. But I think this is the idea, although that's like a national analogy. You're talking about just getting involved in the hometown thing, which I think is fantastic. I've been to, they're called county commissioner meetings, where you can stand up, ask questions, or approach the podium.
Right.
Although Yeah, there's some people that do this like in a really humorous manner. Who's that guy that dresses up like a rat? Alex Stein. Have you heard of this guy?
Heard the name, but I haven't seen it.
He gets pretty animated. He goes to these like he'll put on a tutu or a swimming suit, or he'll put on a rat costume and say, he's a rat and he's identifying as a rat, so he needs. But he just takes it to the extreme, and he's making some
Yeah,
points
right.
here with some of this. I mean, it's out of comedy, but it's
Huh.
also like it makes you think. Like he's sort of
Yeah, right.
showing you the extreme example of
Right.
this case, and it is outlandish, but then you kind of dial back a little bit and say, maybe this
Yeah.
stuff that seems
Oh.
moderate is also extreme. But yeah, I tend to
Yeah.
think that the commissioners feel like they're immune from persecution as well, and this is just what happens, I think, over time. The other guy that I like to listen to is Martin Armstrong, who is just
Oh,
phenomenal,
yeah.
and he's put forward this economic confidence model, and he says this is just what happens, like historically. He's a historian also. He's people get power, and power centralizes, and then it sort of implodes on itself. Like there's so much corruption from within.
Yeah.
So I'm not
Yeah.
worried about it persisting that long because I think that the power just it falls in on itself. Like there's it's hard enough to keep a homeschool group together. You can't have 12 families because one family's going to get ticked off and take three families with it, and you're going to break up the homeschool group. How in the world do you have a new world order or the Klaus Schwab crap? It just doesn't work because you can't, it's against human nature. And I do think
Yeah.
Armstrong's right with that. It just goes against human nature, especially when you've been brought up in a culture like ours in the United States of America, where it's like you're free to do what you want, and then suddenly your government turns on you and says you must do this, and that doesn't make sense. That's not what I was taught. It's just in our nature
Right. Yeah.
to go and stand up and say, no, we're not doing that. So,
Right.
but I think you're right. I think people are going to have to stand up and start demanding change or demanding things
Yeah.
do change.
For sure.
It's easy to get in our
Definitely.
grooves and just look the other way, or to speak up is hard too, to even voice your opinion.
These are the things that have gotten us in this mess in the first place, though. You know what I
That's true.
mean?
Yeah, not speaking up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Turning the other cheek.
but I
Yeah.
know you have people that you're surrounded by that they don't see any kind of crisis at all. But and
Yeah.
they might even say, no, everything's good. In fact, it's good the other way. We need to push it more towards giving more money away, or things like this, more public services, and treat other people that don't work. We should give them more free stuff. And it's like, well, that money's got to come
Well,
from
that,
somewhere. But
yeah.
it's interesting to see both sides. I can see both sides. I don't agree with both sides 100%, but I will say that as part of human nature, it's always in the state of flux. You can't please everybody.
No.
And the ones that do get pleased tend to get displeased after a while.
Yeah.
The other thing, hey, God, it's already 5:30. We've already gone an hour here. We usually try to
Yeah.
start at 4:30 on Thursdays. And God, today was kind of, I won't say it was glib, but it was, I gotta say, like, we're gonna have to get some fun stuff. And I also say that, what is the phone number if people want to dial in? I think it's 1-2-3-3-3-6-6-6-7-8. Isn't that what it is? TheBioShow.com. It's got the website. Is there anything else you want to
Yeah,
add
let me
before we
look.
close out? Because we've been gone here in La La Land and Radio Land on the Bio Show for about an hour. Do you want to say anything, like final things to the listeners?
I hope this is has spurred some thinking and got your mind going, and helps open a few eyes possibly. And that you have a great rest of your week and a wonderful weekend.
Oh, that's a great way to close. I like that. Just wish everybody well.
Thanks. Yeah.
Hey, sure. Sarah, it was good talking to you again.
Oh, I got the phone number.
Hey, share it.
Okay. For next time, 321-336-6678.
Easy cheesy. It says Florida, but we're all over the place. Northwest and the Midwest. Yeah.
Yep.
Dial us up and chit chat with us. We're on every Thursday, 4:30 Central Time. Excuse me, 6:30 Central Time. That's why she's with me, so she can correct me. Thank you, Sarah. Looking forward
You're
to
welcome.
Talking to you next week.
For sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes. See everybody.
Have a good night.